Welcome, Professor Jonathan Passmore, to Voice of Haven. It's a space where leaders breathe again. And, you know, having you come here, I'm sure we should be able to suck a lot from you that would help us to be able to try, to be able to stand up and tell ourselves it is time to breathe again as a leader. So as we start our podcast now, I would like you to tell us about yourself. Who are you? And what are you here for? What are you in the world for? What are you doing in the world?
Omo, thanks for the invitation to join you on the podcast. And a little bit about me. So I'm a chartered psychologist. I am a coach and trainer, a developer. I work with managers and leaders in organizations, but I also involved in organizations as a senior leader. And in this variety of different roles and responsibilities I have, I think at an organizational level, my purpose, my frame is to help team members, the organization, colleagues and clients to continue to grow and develop, to become the best versions of themselves. When I turn to my research, and my writing and my overall consulting pieces of work, what I'm trying to do is build knowledge, share knowledge. So a lot of the research and writing that I've been doing, I share for free because I want to help people to learn. I want to help people to develop, maybe as a scientist, maybe as a psychologist, maybe as a coach, but probably fundamentally to help leaders to get better at what they're doing. And together we can create a more just, a more fair, a more compassionate and kinder world that is in service of humanity.
Awesome. So, looking at all that you have been doing, what would I look at and tell myself, I need to run to Professor Jonathan to help me out? What is your niche? Where is your niche, basically?
Well, over the last 25 to 30 years, I've covered quite a few niches, to use your phrase. So at the moment, I guess there are three areas that I have been most active in. And the first of those is about coaching outdoors and the importance of blue-green spaces for our health and well-being, as well as our overall productivity. So I've recently published a book, Outdoor Coaching, with a colleague. We've been engaged in a walk from the source of the River Thames to the sea, a couple of 100-mile walk over the space of a year. And as we've been doing this, we've been offering free career transition coaching to people. So they come along, join us for a day's walking, join us for a day's coaching conversation. And we hope through those conversations, they go back to their roles, to their jobs, maybe to be re-energized to apply for the next promotion or to take the next step in their own development of their careers. So that's been one area, and I'm continuing to write and research in that area with a couple of research papers that are there. And all of the things that I talk about, if they are research papers, they're available for free on my website, jonathanpassmore.com. So if people would like to download the research, or they can just reach out to me on LinkedIn and of course connect, and I'll direct them to the research and writing. So that's the first, outdoor coaching, using natural world to help us to be healthier and better at what we do. The second area has been the emergence of technology, and particularly AI, artificial intelligence technologies, and how they're changing the nature of work. They're radically changing the nature of day-to-day jobs in organization. They're changing the nature of leadership in organizations. And of course, they're also impacting on the role of those of us who are executive coaches trying to help people develop. So we're seeing emergence of tools such as Copilot to help us think through and generate content. But there are also a multiplicity of tools that are coming over the coming weeks, months, and years that will redefine what it is to be a leader. We're going to create teams that are mixes of people and AI tools, what I call the need for an emergent symbiotic leadership, leaders who'll need to manage both people and AI technology and bring those pieces of the team, the technology, and the people together in an integrated way, supporting the people in using the technology, helping the technology add value where it does, and helping the people be discerning about where they apply the technological outputs and where they need to use human judgment to overrule the computer because it doesn't culturally fit here, or that process, or that outcome, or that suggestion isn't ethical for the way that we want to do business in this organization. So this requires human input. We can't leave everything to the machine. Humans are a vital part of the process, but machines can enhance what humans are doing. So symbiotic leadership is the second aspect. And the third aspect of the AI research that I've been doing is thinking about what it is to be a human coach in a world where AI coaches are emerging. And I'm sure many people listening to the podcast will have Googled or searched and found an AI coach. Maybe you've even used ChatGPT or some of the other tools that are there to, as a coach, what are my priorities for the day? How can I make sure that I achieve the goals that I need to today? What are the best courses of action that I could do to help me progress through this? So using it in these reflective conversations. And AI has its strengths, but it also has its weaknesses or its gaps. And human coaches have a unique contribution that they can play. So we've been exploring what is it that that's that unique contribution, and what I've started to call the artisan coach. So in a world of technology, let me just take the example of food production. In many parts of the world, food production has been automated and has moved from the individual's kitchen into a factory. We now buy food from a shop, a supermarket, and that food has been mass produced, maybe in the hundreds, probably in the thousands, sometimes the hundreds of thousands just that week, a tin of beans, whatever it might be that we're buying, that we're bringing home to make for our suppers, our dinners. In this world, the same is happening with coaching. We'll see that cost and convenience will see a shift towards AI, but that doesn't mean to say that the human coach has no value. The human coach brings something distinctive. The human coach is able to understand the lived experience, able to bring their own personal work experience, not just a summation of what's been scraped from the internet, but what their individual coach has done over their career. The human coach is able to bring humor. So we're able to, as we were before we started this recording, to have a little bit of a laugh, a little bit of a joke, because humor is important to us as a social creature, as a social species, as humans. So humor is another aspect that the human coach can bring out in our relationships. The ability to move beyond a goal-focused conversation to something which is deeper about our identities, about our values, about our beliefs, maybe faith, Christianity or Islam, also about the way that we work in our particular organization or our location. You're based in Lagos, I'm based in London. And each of those cities have their own ways of being. When I was last in Lagos, driving on the road is different from driving down Portobello Road in London. They're different ways of being, and we need to respect the culture of the location where we are to fit in to that. AI is less able to do that than a human. So this artisan coach, as I describe it, the human coach who brings those qualities is able to bring an extra added value to the coaching relationship. So when we're using coaching, we might at 3 o'clock in the morning switch an AI coach on because it's convenient, it's low cost. But if I really want some depth conversation that reflects my experience, my culture, my values, then I'm going to turn to a human coach who are able to make me explore something in greater depth for a transformational conversation. So those are three areas that I've been looking at over the last couple of years or so, and we could dive into any of those three, Omo.
Yeah, I guess we could dive into the second one.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I let me go back and the third thing I should have said, that was two of them, wasn't it? The third one I should have said was about what we're describing, I guess, is mosaic leadership. And I should have covered this and I didn't cover this. And mosaic leadership is about how we recognize difference across the world. So this is a new book we bought out. A colleague from India Badri and a colleague from South Africa, Mongezi, and I have worked together on this new book. And what we've brought is a group of African, Asian, and Indigenous people together to write about what leadership means to them. And our ambition here is to move away from the decolonialization debate, which has been we need to think again about leadership. And this is a way to think about leadership in a more pluralistic, multipolar world perspective that draws upon Korean, Indonesian, Islamic, Maori traditions. So many different voices coming through from different writers about what leadership means for them. So that was the third area that I've been working on. But let me dive in and talk a little bit more about AI, which was the one that you have just picked out from your question. And I think anybody who's probably listening to the conversation today will be thinking AI has major implications for me in the job that I do. Even if you are working with your hands, even if you're working in as a chef in a kitchen, AI technologies will begin to impact on those. If you're a taxi driver, we're seeing the emergence of driverless cars. If you work in an office, Copilot from Microsoft, but a range of other tools are coming through if you work in the legal or if you work in accounting or you work in other specialist areas. AI tools are beginning to emerge in these areas that help speed up the processing. So one of the things that we need to be thinking about in leadership education is how do we equip new leaders to be comfortable and confident in using AI in a world where in 10 years' time, they're going to need to be sufficiently skilled to deploy this, but also discern what I describe as the twaddle and nonsense from the wisdom. And if you ask AI a question, sometimes it's very difficult to predict. Sometimes it comes out with an amazing answer. You think, wow. And then other times you've asked it a question that's almost 3 plus 3. And it says, no, it's 7. And you think, hey, that's just that. That cannot be right. And they 3 plus 3. No, that's definitely 6. Definitely 6. Because there's what I would describe as being a jagged edge. And a jagged edge is that AI isn't easy to predict when it's going to be brilliant and when it's going to be stupid. And so we need to have the expertise to decide, is this a stupid answer or a brilliant answer? And the brilliant answers we need to make use of, and the stupid answers we need to be able to discern and throw those away. So when we come back to human judgment, this is an aspect of leadership we've yet to think about.
True, 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 true. I guess at the end of the day, a lot of people are scared that AI is going to sweep them away from their jobs, but of which I know it's only when you're able to master it, because who brought AI into the world? AI didn't come on its own. So definitely something or someone is controlling it from somewhere. So it means we have a headway with it. So, looking at all this, what definition can we give leadership from your own perspective to help leaders that are coming up now to be able to have a very good background and solid foundation?
So I think the first thing that leaders need is curiosity. They
Yeah.
need to be willing to open the box. And in some respects, the Pandora's box has already been opened. But they need to put their hand in and to bring out the pieces. And amongst those pieces are things which are amazing and brilliant and terrible. That always with new technologies, it's really about how humanity uses this technology that has in its long-term effects. So curiosity is the first of those. And that curiosity means asking ourselves a willingness to engage, a willingness to be critical of these technologies, a willingness to explore and test them out, to test out, are the answers for this type of question brilliant or stupid? And when we start to understand, like, okay, this tool, this particular AI tool with this version is really good at doing this task but isn't very good at doing that task, that's helpful for us. And of course, the more we do this, the more we play with it, the more confident and capable that we get. So curiosity, I think, is the first skill to think about. The second skill I touched upon already is about discernment, the ability to be able to reject poor pieces of output from these tools to use our own wisdom. And I think that a lot of people ask AI questions that they don't know the answers to. And this always scares me that if we're asking an AI tool a question that we don't know the answer to, how do we know whether that's a good or
Actually
bad
telling us
answer?
the
So, just as an example of this, the
right thing.
first time I used ChatGPT was just before the Christmas. I think I'm going to say it's Christmas of 2022. New version of ChatGPT just comes out, and I spent the Christmas playing with it. I thought, this is wow, this is incredible. And one of the first things that I did, it asked, I know about coaching, so oh, ask it a question about coaching. And amongst its generative answer, it came out with Jonathan Passmore said that this. I thought, oh, that's brilliant. Jonathan Passmore, it's just wonderful. This is great technology. It's quoting me. It must be good. And then I read what it was saying. I thought, I didn't write this article. I'm pretty sure I didn't. I've written a lot of things over 25 years, and I'm becoming an old man, and I sometimes forget the things that I might have written. So I went and checked. Did I write this article this day in this journal? And did I write with this particular person? And it was somebody I had published with in a journal I'd published. But when I checked it out, actually, I hadn't written this article and it had just made it up. But it was enough to make me think, did I write it? Now, I've seen over the last 3 years since then, or more than 3 years, what people are doing is that they're using AI to generate content. That content then, they just cut and paste it into their answer. It appears on blog pages. It appears in LinkedIn. And maybe I've commissioned them as an author or a contributor to write a chapter for a book. And then I see these things appearing. In fact, I saw them yesterday. I wrote back to somebody. They were writing a book. They wanted to me to write a foreword for the book. I said, okay, I'm happy. You know, there are persons in my network. I'm happy to support them. So they sent me the book. I read it. In the references section, I'm looking through. I thought, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. And I started to check the references. Around a third of the references did not exist. That they and the other authors had relied upon AI to generate content. It had generated references, but the references were fake references. And
Preferences.
so we need to be really careful about these references, because let's just say that got printed in a book. If it hadn't, I hadn't spotted it. If it'd gone off to the publisher, it gets printed. You buy the book, you look through, you go, oh, here's a reference. It says this. And then you use that reference in your. So if that tentacles of fake knowledge is spreading out across the world. Now you might say in coaching, it doesn't really matter. But what if it was brain surgery and your brain surgeon was relying upon a fake piece of research or a fake piece of practice about how to resolve a particular problem that you have in your brain? And he thinks, or she thinks, as they're carrying out the operation, oh yeah, I read that what you need to do is this because I saw it in a recent article or a recent book chapter, and they follow that procedure. But AI, 2 or 3 steps ago, just made it up. We are in a serious problem of where this fake knowledge is going to impact the world. It becomes waste. The requirement for leaders, for all of us as readers, is to be able to verify what is the original source for this reference, what's the original source for this evidence. And this is going to become increasingly important in a polluted world of knowledge. So we need to be doing more work. We need to bring discernment into the process. And last of all, I think that we as humans need to understand how we collaborate, how we collaborate with each other as we use technology, how we collaborate with technology to deploy it into the various tasks. Yes, we need discernment, but we need that collaboration skill, because ultimately we're a social species and that work will require us to be functioning, engaging in teams with other humans. It's just what we would be doing is slightly different. Maybe if we were, let's just say, a carpenter, maybe 3,000 years ago, the tools that we would have been using might have been flints. We would have been using flint to carve a piece of wood to maybe make a spear or to make a piece of ornament or decoration. Then we developed knives, then we developed other pieces of equipment, and in the last 100 years, we've developed machines. But we're still producing pieces of wood for ornamentation, maybe for jewelry, maybe as a piece of sculpture on in our homes. But the craftsman has evolved to use these different tools. As leaders, we need to think about leadership and using AI as just another tool that's come along that we need to
Yes.
master and deploy appropriately as a master craftsman to create the outcomes that we want.
Exactly. Wow. Thank you so much. In just few minutes, you have actually dropped some key things. You've been able to be curious. Curiosity is key. Collaboration is key. And you being able to tell yourself to have discernment in everything you're doing is key. So thank you so much, Jonathan Passmore, for coming here and helping us, or rather, let me use the word, opening our eyes to see better. Looking at AI, fantastic. It's a good tool for us to use, but we should make sure we're curious, we collaborate with other humans to make sure it comes out well, and we're able to get originality in everything. And to you leaders out there, I want to encourage you that burnout does not just come on you in one day. It starts from somewhere. But what are the key things you could use to pull this burnout away from you? You have to be curious. You have to learn to collaborate with people, and you should be able to discern, am I doing it right? Am I following the right route? And is this information I'm getting, is it right? Just as you said, originality is key. And in every way, I must say that thank you, a big thank you to you for bringing this knowledge to us. Yes, this is a short one today. We hope to bring you again anytime soon. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure,
What are
Emma.
your
Thank
last
you.
words? What are your last words, and how can they get in touch with you?
If people want to connect, Emma, on LinkedIn, I'd be delighted to connect with them. And thank you for inviting me to join you. Have a great day.
And you too. Bye. Thank you. And once again, this is Voice of Haven, where leaders pause and they do what? They breathe again. So please, this time around, I want you to breathe by being curious. Make sure you collaborate with the right set of people. And aside that, you sit back and you tell yourself to discern rightly. Thank you so much for coming and joining in with us. God bless you. And do have a wonderful time. Thank you.